Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week here on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Thank you, folks, for making us the most trusted brand. I can't thank you enough. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry from the experts who live and work it every single day. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, the industry. Those who are involved with the industry are those who are evolving the industry. That's what's happening out in the Bakken, and that's what we like talking about, the evolution of the communities, the people, and the entire industry. And on today's episode, we have a fantastic program. Let me give you a quick little rundown of today's program. We talk with William Prentice, CEO of the Meridian Energy Group and the Davis Refinery. We do a weekly Davis Refinery update for a lot of reasons. Not only is it going to add thousands of jobs out in western North Dakota, and he also explains about some of the hurdles that they had to get over the past year, like the Bakken oil had a higher sulfur content than previously thought. William Prentice, CEO of Meridian Energy Group, in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about a few other interviews we have lined up. Mike Marcil, CEO, Orange Property Management, and also co-owner of Bakken.com. We talk a little bit about the Bakken housing market. He got out there in 2006. He talks about the changes through the years to the present day. Now, he owns and operates a little over 800 housing units in the state of North Dakota, and a lot of them are out in western North Dakota. So we talk a little bit about the housing market out there as well. Fred Fox, councilman and executive secretary for the MHA Nation, gives an update on what's going on out there in the tribal lands of the MHA Nation, which, by the way, account for about 20% of the Bakken oil reserves. And then Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of The Word Merchant, he's on location at the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners in Baltimore, Maryland. Public Service Commissioner Julie Fedorchek was out there giving a presentation. But what we talked to Stephen Hines about is an interesting topic, a progressive topic that some are talking about, whether national parks and oil and gas should be working closer together as a means to fund the national parks. Let me repeat that, whether national parks and oil and gas should be working closer together so that they can figure out a way to fund the national parks. All because of this energy revolution. Outstanding progressive conversation with Professor Stephen Hines a little bit later on in the program. Folks, you're going to want to stick around and catch Building the Bakken Radio today. You're not going to want to miss it. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota.
The project has gotten stronger. There are some, you know, obscure things that have happened. I mean, for instance, Bakken Oil has a lot less sulfur in it than most crudes do. So your typical sulfur removal processes don't work very well. The process that we had initially decided to use would have taken a long time, was kind of heat intensive, and we've since found out about some new things that have been developed that have since we started actually been proven in actual use in industry. So we've been able to migrate to some of these other solutions. You know, I complain all the time about schedule, but when I look at the project today, it's better than it would have been if we'd gotten the permit 4 months after we filed, you know. It's a better deal for everybody, especially us. Also, in running us through this gauntlet, the health department has helped us perfect what in other industries would be considered intellectual property, of knowing how to put together all these disparate areas of technology into something that's very unique and new and clean and much more efficient, which means probably more profitable. So in the last 2 or 3 months, we've had people coming to us wanting to talk about putting a similar plant in their backyard. You know, that's something that's pretty new and exciting that grew up in North Dakota now. So, you know, it's just been a very exciting project to work on. And every week it gets better. So, you know, I can't complain, but I do all the time.
You mentioned there's a public comment meeting coming up, and I didn't, I don't know if you mentioned it. I didn't write it down, and I don't know if it's your responsibility or not. I do know it's the health department's responsibility, but do you have any information on that, where people should go to, you know, either support the project or give their input?
Well, you know, the once the draft permit is posted so that people can look at it and think about it, I think then they give people a week or two before they schedule something. It'll probably be in the Dickinson or Medora, one or the other, I would imagine. And they'll announce it in the legal press and on their website. So, yeah, the hearing will be announced and it'll be on the Department of Health's website. I imagine that, you know, we'll probably also be running around telling everybody about it, because we're going to want to have people get involved and know what we're doing. And once that hearing is set, then, you know, the rest of the schedule for finalizing the permit becomes a little bit more definitive at that point. So that's going to be exciting for us at that point, too.
To listen to the full-length interview with William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
And I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Mike Marseille, CEO of Orange Property Management and co-owner of Bakken.com.
We're excited because Mike Marseille is one of the prominent housing authorities out in western North Dakota. He owns over 200 properties?
No more than that. We own and manage about 800 across the state, but probably 500 out in western North Dakota.
So about 500 out in western North Dakota, 800 across the state. I just wanted that to back up what I was referring to.
12 different communities.
12 different communities. Yeah. And the reason why I think he's an expert is not because he owns those particular properties, which is part of it, but because he got in there beforehand. He actually was in the Bakken back in 2007 before the $100 oil took off. So he saw the pre-boom, he saw the boom, and the post-boom. And what he's saying right now is that the Bakken should be national news for the housing, because you've got one of the biggest stories happening in the United States right now, which is low rent, high wages equals some of the largest discretionary income in the United States. In fact, there was a study that was just done. They ranked North Dakota sixth. Mike, how are you doing today? I just wanted to start off with that intro a little bit. So let's start off by describe your property and Orange Property Management, what you guys are doing
well,
up in Western.
I think what's interesting, Jason, is we probably should step back and look at what happened prior to 2007.
Sure.
Because I think that historically there are some trends that occurred in past cycles that are playing out, and some that are not, that did not play out in this particular trend.
This is a new cycle.
Well, it's not a new cycle in the context of commodities increasing and decreasing.
Correct.
What has marked this one as different than some of the past ones, in my opinion, is the difference in the banking and the credit exposures that were seen in the last cycle in the 1980s and this cycle today. And I think it's really important because it does play into a lot of infrastructure. Let me back up to the last cycle in the mid-80s. We had in 1986 to 1988 a similar type boom, but it was 10% the size of what we see today. At that time, we had both a coal energy boom, and we also had the oil and gas. And as you've pointed out many times in your reporting, we know where the oil is today. Back then when they were wildcatting, there was a lot of speculation, and I would say that it was a lot more mom and pop like back then. This is really, this particular cycle was marked by huge amounts of public money and a lot of sophisticated private equity investment. What we didn't see, and I was in a banking meeting yesterday with a pretty prominent bank from Western North Dakota, we didn't see the banks in this cycle take on the exposure that they had done in the mid-80s. A good example of that was a bank called Midwest Federal in Minot, had taken a lot of exposure and actually failed. It was a very prominent bank failure back in the, I think, late 80s, or early 90s. And it had a lot to do with the old the FDIC, it was that Keating thing, it was the SNL crisis of that time. If you remember, interest rates were very high back then in the mid-80s, or the early 80s, mid-80s, and many of the people that were speculating were borrowing lots of credit. And so one of the problems that happened in that cycle was the credit exposure caused massive amounts of defaults. In this cycle, what we saw, we're not seeing that at all. What we saw is the local and regional lenders really sat it out to a certain extent. They played a little bit on the, you know, with local builders that they had good relationships with, high guarantees. But you saw publicly traded companies like Blackstone. You saw publicly traded oil and gas companies. And they had access to different capital markets than in the previous cycle. So as a consequence, what we have not seen in this cycle has been massive amounts of bust. Okay. Mm-hmm. What we've seen is a lot of great assets, billions of dollars of assets that sort of lay in the ground, but a compression in value. So I think it's important to understand that I bought buildings that were built in 1984 and were abandoned in 1990 and in essence boarded up and in some cases demolished. We just not seen that. So I
remember you bought a part like an 8-plex for $16,000.
No, I bought a 36-plex for $50,000.
36-plex.
Yeah, in Western North Dakota. Yeah. This is pre-boom, guys.
Right.
And the other thing I think it's important to understand is just not too long ago, you know, we're looking at 10 years ago, when we worked with the city back in 2006 and 7, and we were having a conversation about housing, at that time, there was a housing shortage in Williston. And it was because from the previous cycle, there had not been any new construction of buildings in about 25 years. And so the city had commissioned a study back in 2002 that said, hey, we are really lacking new housing. And this was in Williston. This is before the 2006 timeline. So when we went to Williston, we actually built, we were building new apartments based on, not anything to do with the oil boom, we were building based on a housing study of substandard housing that was really needed in the community. So we didn't go out there at all with any expectation about oil and gas. What happened in 08 by the time we finished that project was obviously then the $130 oil. But what's interesting about that is at that time, and I think it's important to kind of somewhat dissect what has occurred, at that time in 08 and 09, we had a national recession, right? Mm-hmm. The Great Recession. And nobody was buying in yet to this shale thing at all. So what they saw on the ground was a lot of activity, and the oil companies were kind of saying this is what it is. But the people, the policymakers, I'll remember who was our legislator from Tioga?
Scarpel. Bob Scarpel.
Yeah, I remember Bob Scarpel at an event in 2008 in Tioga. And Bob got up on stage and he goes, this is not what you think it is. This is a lot of hype. This is not going to last. And he laid out for about 30 minutes why this was not a real deal. And a lot of people in the room just were kind of agreeable, and they said, yeah, you know, we've seen this kind of come and go before. And then there was a group of people, a small segment at that time, were going, no, this is different. This technology is really different. And I think at the time, Bob was saying, look, I mean, when it's costing $100 to, you know, drill one of these things and it takes 6 months, it's not economically viable. Now, we all know technology has really compressed a lot of the extraction in the oil and gas industry. So really from 2000 and about 8 to 2010, there was what I call suspended disbelief. I would meet with bankers and policymakers and housing folks and people that owned apartments, and they said, Mike, you're crazy. We wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I won't name names, but these are some really smart people, and they were really fantastically interesting to talk to at the time. And I said, you know, I don't know, guys. I think there's an underlying need outside oil and gas. And so we were never really kind of bought in fully to that. It wasn't really, Jason, until 2011 that we saw what I call the significant, okay, this is real, this has lasted.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mike Marcille, CEO of Orange Property Management and co-owner of Bakken.com, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group, Inc.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Fred Fox, Tribal Council Representative with the MHA Nation.
My name is Fred Fox. I'm the Executive Secretary on the Tribal Business Council for the MHA Nation and Fort Berthold Reservation. Chairman Fox is the Mark Fox is the Chairman of the tribe. I'm Fred Fox. I am elected official for the Whiteschild segment, which is I'm also the executive secretary in our business council.
Just an update from the MHA Nation, whether it be from the three tribes or whether it be from the actual Missouri River Resources or the MHA Nation from an oil and gas perspective, community building.
What's been happening with Three Affiliated is we're continually trying to develop partnerships with different companies on the reservation. We currently have the Missouri River Resources that are currently developed I believe over 4 to 5 wells right now, and we're currently on schedule to develop 26 more wells over by the Little Missouri. We're currently working on our oil storage facility over in the plaza area, along with the Clean Fuels Refinery that is still being worked in the process. We did get a permit for our oil storage facility. Right now, the current production is roughly around 220,000 barrels per day over on the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. I believe the tribe alone, with the tribal minerals that the tribe does own, is roughly 20,000 to 25,000 barrels per day. Currently, right now, the royalties that the individual allottees have earned, when I say that, the reservation's about 1 million acres. Allottees of our reservation, tribal members, individually own roughly, about 320,000 acres. Out of that 320,000 acres they own, since 2008, individual allottees have earned $2.1 billion in royalties in 2008. The tribes earned probably roughly about $500 million. We own roughly about 190,000 acres, probably about 160,000 are produced. So that's kind of what we have now. There's probably about 12 drilling rigs on our reservation. I'm also the former oil and gas director, energy director for our tribe back in 2006 to about 2010 until I got elected to the Tribal Business Council. So we currently have our own oil development program for our tribe. Currently, we're working on the taxes with the state of North Dakota. You know, we do believe that we've spent a lot of money building our roads. Currently, right now, we put $30 million into BIA 12. We currently put last year we put a $28 million into BIA 14. I think in total, about in the past 4 years, we've roughly built around $120 million in roads on our reservation. So the infrastructure is slowly getting built. We still have to keep up with the pace of the crime. What's happening on our reservation is that we have dual jurisdiction with non-tribal members, where we have to have the ability to control crime not only from our tribal members, but from off-tribal members. So it's tough, and we have to make sure our law enforcements are funded at a level that we can make sure our citizens are safe at Fort Berthel.
One of the things that I've talked in the past with David Williams, as well as a few others from your MHA Nation, is the word empowerment. What you guys have going on, say, with Missouri River Resources, by having all the engineers Native Americans, all the people working on the wells Native Americans, everybody filing papers Native Americans, top to bottom, that's empowering. That's the only word for it, because you're passing wealth to the next generation. Somebody gets a job in oil and gas, they pay pretty well, and they're going to go to the local florist, the local coffee shop, that sort of thing. Do you guys have discussions about that, about the how really what you guys are doing there really is an incredible story for the entire, I would say, your guys' people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of times, you know, we want to make sure that our people are given the right jobs. We have a TARO department, Tribal Employment Rights Office, that specifically deals with skilled workers, unskilled workers that are tribal members. We make sure that the jobs that are, if it's not on an oil rig or if it's not on a environmental regulatory company, we make sure that these jobs are posted. We make sure that it is a tribal law that you have to have a certain percentage of tribal members working for your business. We want to make sure that they get their skilled profession and seen. Not only do we have our individual members that are skilled, but we want to make sure that we have our tribally owned companies by individual tribal members. Their businesses are made sure that they're kept into used on the oil field, such as if they're not roused about company, or if it's not say, for instance, if it's a porta potties, whatever business that they bring to the oil field, we want to make sure that every producer uses every one of our tribal members' businesses. So we do have, I believe, well over 200 tribal businesses that are owned by tribal members, to make sure oil producers use these businesses out in the oil field.
And final question here. What was the next question I had? Oh, BIA. Several years ago, you know, it took 49 steps or something like that, the BLM. Mm-hmm. Where are we at today? Is it used to, what, North Dakota private company, 3 days? Where are you guys at?
Right now, you know, I mean, it's probably, you know, it used to take us anywhere from 4 to 6 months to get a permit approved. Right now, we're roughly around about 1 to 2 months right now. What has happened is we've probably streamlined the, you know, the regulatory. What we've been doing every month is every 3 months, actually, we meet with we have a federal partners meeting, and we make sure we have the BLM, BIA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, all the other regulatory agencies that are responsible for permitting. We make sure that every one of our permits are being processed through the federal agencies. For instance, we do have I think it's called a it's kind of like a one-stop shop, but it's over in Denver, Colorado, and it's what it deals specifically with is oil and gas energy permits and. They're based out of Denver, and they usually assist in all the oil and gas tribes of Southern Ute, Northern Ute, three affiliated tribes.
To listen to the full-length interview with Fred Fox, Tribal Council Representative with the MHA Nation, or listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on social media, facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. The past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you folks for joining us. Up next, Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of The Word Merchant. We wanted to do a story or a feature on looking at how the parks and oil and gas can work closer together, actually, because of how responsible really drilling has gotten in these, in the size of the footprint of the pads and how they're able to do a lot of the horizontal drilling. It's not damaging the surface. Are these conversations happening out there?
Well, you know, In all honesty, there is a woman who edits another publication out in Colorado called the Freeland Report, I think it's called. It's I think that as far as the park systems, over the last 4 to 8 years, they've tried to take bigger and bigger chunks out in Utah and Colorado, and there's been a lot of pushback from the states who believe they can do a much better job of the parks, so that they wouldn't stop being parks, but they would be better maintained because they'd be done by the states. Now, the other problem, again, with federal land is because of the politics in Washington, the leasing program now, the federal government receives money, revenue off of their leases for oil and gas. And because of the politics, they're supposed to have a decision, I think, within 90 days. And many of these requests are 3 or 4 years old, Jason. So what's really happening with the new administration is they're working on getting back on schedule. So if you make an application, and of course they can't go in there and just tear the place up. I mean, it has to be done environmentally friendly. But you will find out and be able to go forward looking for more natural gas and for oil.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say. The thing that I've learned is, you know, take like these rig mats, for example. You know, they lay those things down, and the way those things operate is it doesn't take away the native flora, actually. So when they're done, the native flora grows back. That's just one example of many that oil and gas has learned over the past, you know, decades and everything when it comes to reclamation. What I see as a huge potential for the federal government, and I'm curious if Zinke is going to explore this at all, could you imagine if you figured out a way that whatever minerals came out of the national parks, that money went right back into the national parks? That would take care of the national parks for decades.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know the history of what Walt Stegner called America's greatest idea, and that is the national parks. They were created back in the 1870s, but they never received any funding for them. So it wasn't until the early 20th century that somebody, a guy by the name of Stephen Mather, figured out how to make the parks into more of an attraction for people to visit. And he literally spent his own money and paid staff for a couple of years to prove to the federal government that by using these more effectively and without, you know, trashing them, that they could pay for themselves. So, you know, the truth is, Washington is such a strange place. I don't even know where to start. As you know, I've been lobbying out here for almost 20 years, and sometimes I look under the hood and I think, boy, there's not much thinking going on here, and there's, you know, and it's more money than anything. But the truth is, there's a lot of money that they're leaving in the ground right now that could be that the federal government could lease out to responsible companies. And I've been out to one of your fracking sites out in the Black Hills, and I mean, I was talking to somebody here, somebody from Maryland, who, you know, when I talked about fracking, it looked like I was talking about the atomic bomb or something, you know. And I went on to explain, and I said, have you ever seen any of the operation? No. I said, you know, these cell towers have more presence in places like North Dakota than these fracking operations. And it's true. But see, no, the problem is, and I think you and I have talked about this, that one of the things that you and I have really kind of agreed to start thinking about and working on is we've got to get your story and the story of fracking and what it's done for North Dakota out in front of the people so that they begin to understand.
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephen Hines or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. We're kind of like that girl. music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When you get Eric Hatch involved in something, you get 100% of him. You get him, you get his team, you get his family, now you get his kids. This is a guy that puts his heart into his work. What I really appreciate about Eric is his vulnerability. And there's times he hits home runs, and there's times where maybe it doesn't go the way everybody hoped. But I've always respected how much he loves his work. I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, where he gave a talk, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. It's been said that if you want to create competition, tell everyone your success. And if you want to create compassion, share your weaknesses. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished. And it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.